session. Okay, the next presentation is by Vladimir Kekelidze, and he will give us the details about the NICAP grant program and the formation of the MPD and BTMN collaborations. Please.
Good afternoon, dear colleagues. It's my pleasure to give you some information concerning the NICA grants program, formation of the MPD and BMN collaborations, and the some changes in MAC, Machine Advisory Committee. So the first call for the submission of the grant applications in the framework of the newly established grant program for research conducted at the NICA facility is in preparation. The program aimed to encouraging the support research proposals performed in the MPD, BMN, and SPD experiments at the NICA project. Proposals will be evaluated by a peer review system, and grants will be awarded on a competitive basis to individual researchers according to the scientific merit of the proposal, regardless of the specific topic of institute affiliation. The general information. Applications shall be made solely online through a dedicated GNR site that will be ready for announcement, we hope, on February 1st. Applications should be written in English. The principal investigator or investigators must be member of the MPD or BMN or SPD collaboration prior to the submission of the application, because otherwise the topic could not be well justified and confirmed by the management of the collaboration. Applicants should provide sufficient information to demonstrate to the members of the scientific community who will review the application that the proposed research represents a sound approach to the investigation of an important science issue and definitely related to the definite experiment, SPD, MPD, or BMN at end. The evaluation will rely on a dual review scheme based on a combination of the peer review and deliberations of the professional review committee. This combined process is well accepted in leading competitive funding agencies worldwide, and it ensures comprehensive evaluation and allows selection of the best research project. Concerning review committee, it should be comprised of experts in the research field addressed by NICA. It's composed of 4 or 5 members, including a chairman, approved by GNR. Each member is directly responsible for roughly 1/4 of submitted applications. Is composed following a thorough examination to avoid conflict of interest. The committee members sign a declaration of confidentiality. The committee basis is decisions on peer review, and for that it refers each proposal to suitable professional reviewers. Review committee meetings. The committee meet generally twice. The goal of the first meeting to establish the list of external reviewers. Prior to the meeting, the members receive the applications for which they are responsible and prepare a list of at least 6 reviewers for each application. At the meeting, each member justifies the suggested reviewers. The committee discusses the suggested reviewers, makes changes as appropriate, and finalizes the list of external reviewers. Prior to the second and concluding meeting, each member reads the written evaluation received from the external reviewers, then prepares a summary based on the comments received from the external reviewers and personal opinion, and makes it available to the other members of the review committee. That's all related to this. It's general issues which I'm going to present, and all the details will be presented in the dedicated website. So I'm moving to the second topic of my presentation. This is a kickoff meeting on formation of the MPD and BMN collaborations. In practice, those collaborations exist already many years, more than 7 years, but we would like to make it to Europe. So that's why on 11-13 April this year, it will be dedicated meeting, and detailed information about the meeting can be found at the Indigo pages, you could see it. Those who might be interested in participating in the NICA project could join the meeting. The registration is now open. The draft of MOU and bylaw are under consideration and addition. And those drafts must satisfy the framework of provision on the collaboration adopted at GNR. So GNR has a provision which creates a framework to which all the MOUs and bylaws defined by the collaboration members should fit. And finally, all these MOU and bylaws will be approved by the institutional board of each of the collaboration. The election procedure, the structure of government, all the details will be decided by this institutional board. This would be the highest governing body of each of the collaboration. The tentative agenda of the meeting is presented here. It's still tentative, could be changed, but I would like to emphasize two items. This is a collaboration discussion one and collaboration discussion two. Those meetings would just be dedicated to the organizational issues, which should be finally adopted the MOUs and bylaws, and they approved the election procedure and established all the system of the structure of the collaborations. So the program includes the invited speakers in the theory. All the items would be reviewed, and it's highly appreciated to external participants to bring to the meeting their proposals and to present the activity in the framework of each of these collaboration. So I am moving to the third part of my talk. This is Machine Advisory Committee for the NICA Accelerator Complex. You could see 11 members of the present Machine Advisory Committee. Ex officio is not included, the members of our institute here. And the new chairman, which took his office in May of this year, is Markus Steck from the GSI Germany. And that committee is finally completed after the changes which I am presenting on this slide. So we have some retirements of this committee. Sharkov Boris, who left his chair of the committee because he became the member of our institute and stays in the committee as ex officio. The Volker from DAISY, Yarba from Fermilab, Nagaitsa from Fermilab, Zlobin from the same institution, Rosa from Brookhaven National Lab, Belashitsky from CERN, and Zorn-Thal from CERN. They retired from this committee, but instead we are proposing to invite the new member. This is Professor Arkharov from the Bauman Moscow State Technological University, Russian Federation. He is high-level expert in cryogenics because we had no one from this from the members of the committee as cryogenic experts. And if you could adopt this decision, I could thank the colleagues to be retired for their useful contribution to the from the NICA Accelerator project, and endorse it, the invitation of Professor Arkhanov to membership in the NICA MAC. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Vladimir. Are there any questions or comments?
Yes, there are. We don't understand about what he's speaking at all, in which date they're organized and so on. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, when, where?
Which was written, okay, let Vladimir, 11 to 13.
Okay, thank you very much.
11 is Wednesday, 13 is Friday.
Okay.
Okay. It's 11 to 13 of April. Okay. Yes, please.
In fact, what Amy, I think it's a very remarkable thing what you were talking about.
We cannot hear you. Can you?
My small concern.
Use microphone, please.
My small concern about the point you said that it is needed at least 6 reviewers for each of the projects. Is it not too many? That's our experience, for instance, with Basis Foundation. I mean, it's quite difficult to find such large number of reviewers for each of the projects.
Thank you for the question. More is better, we understand.
Yeah, of course,
more is more difficult better, to collect so many reviewers. But at least we are keeping this status, but we shall see. It was a proposal for the people who prepared this. So we had a discussion on this, how many. And we are trying to keep 6. We shall see if it would be possible.
May I clarify?
I may comment on this topic. It is... if you approach 6 and you end up with 3 or 4 letters, you are happy. Because not all of them will agree to serve as evaluators. But if you have 4 that agree, then you don't send to 6. Yeah. Yes.
I would like to clarify as a position of directorate. So what Vladimir was talking about is a very interesting suggestion prepared by initiative group. It is not yet decided, solved problem, so and it now in the process of consideration because we need to work out details of that, so it would be real, not just goodwill. And one of the very important points that if goal of this grant program is devoted to the contribution to the MPD, Brevink Metal Nukatron, and SPD, experimental program, so the initiative, so procedures, way of expertise, very important, but more important, what task will be formulated by collaborations. And collaborations still are now under preparation for formal establishment, because up to now it's consideration beyond, not aside of the collaboration, which still has to be formulated and dictate or formulate what contributions needed for that. And after that, you may announce, call for suggestions. But now suggestions is somehow outside of tasks which are formulated inside of that. So, and in fact, such a suggestion from aside, we have a lot, but they are not connected directly with, so, but that may be important to discuss, and maybe we will discuss it later on. I'm very grateful, and we are grateful to our respected chairman who also participated in formulation of those proposals, but I still would like to say that formality is very important, but maybe the real goals needed be formulated before.
Thank you for the comment, but I would like to say that the collaboration de facto already exists, and all the plans and the topics are well defined, but fully agree with you that the euro formation of the collaboration will be happen in April. But already now the people could to justify the topic of research with the collaboration management and later on to approve by juridically selected and approved the governing body of the collaboration.
If I may make a comment, I think that the physics program of MPD and BM-ATEN has been discussed many, many times at the PAC and presented in workshops and in meetings. So the scientific objectives are defined, and I think that the grant program has to address those issues that have been previously the physics program does not need to be described now. It already exists. But
of course, you know that very well. So, but I have only my own experience. So, for example, if we participate in a collaboration in Hadron Collider and CERN, so of course, physics which are studied at LHC program, of course, well known to everybody maybe who works in particle physics, but what acceptable for collaboration is decided, including collaboration, first of all. Not outside, but in collaboration. So we have to pay attention that it would be not looks like collaboration, it has to be real collaboration when decisions are taken independent members of the collaboration, because all of them have to have the freedom, maybe so, to decide. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to echo the comment here. I think all this grant must be used within the collaboration. But I think it's very important. I was going to suggest that earlier. So external reviewers, I'm not sure they're very useful. I think the collaboration should form a small committee which decide at least the first batch of this grant. That's really very important, will be very important. It's driven by the collaboration need, not by, you know, very broad physics issues. This is for the collaboration. That would be my say.
It restricts somehow the...
Okay, Hans has a comment.
Yeah, I think I support fully Victor's point, coming also from CERN. Collaboration should be formed. And at the moment, these are dominantly people working for MPD, for BMN. It's a pseudo collaboration existing without big branching out to the outside world. So if I read grant application, that's too early. They have, of course, already money. I think they have money, but a collaboration has to form and then negotiate with the several governments, be it China management or Germany or Poland or other China and other countries, to get the money together to build the full-fledged experiment. Now, a lot is coming from you. So you have this mixture of Brookhaven, where Brookhaven pays a lot. And the other part is in CERN, the collaboration is a strong force and negotiates with the CERN government. And I think we have first step before this grant application. That means grant is for me always money, before the money can be discussed. So you need a collaboration board, you need a collaboration management, and you need a chosen collaboration leader or spokesman, and then you have an entity management which internally discuss science, discuss sub-project leaders and all how they want to do that, and then they come to you and say, how much is Dubna paying from what we want? And what do we have to go fishing somewhere else? And this is what we always asked since years, and I'm very happy that you start this now. But I think grant application, to call it that way on that meeting, is premature. You can think about it, but it's premature. I would like to see a physics-driving spokesperson in BMN and in MPD, and in SPD perhaps also, and then they form international collaboration, and then it's going on. With a large participation of China, of course, because they are here.
Thank you for the comment, Hans.
Do you want to make any comment on that? Or
all the opinions should be accepted. Okay. Maybe we should think about.
Okay, I think if I may inject a comment on the comment of Hans, it is clear that any applicant must be a member of the collaboration. This is I don't know whether it was stated, but it's a precondition. So no one will come and make a proposal if he's not a member of MPD or BMTN. So basically, it's people that have already involved or plan to be involved that have basically negotiated or expressed interest to participate in this or that aspect of the physics program of the two experiments. So this is one. So it's not just an external. The other thing is the main goal of this thing is just to give an incentive to encourage outside groups to come and join the effort. We have repeatedly said in this pack, we need to attract external groups. We need to attract. We were not successful in doing that. We didn't succeed over the last 2 years that I had, or 3 years that I'm chairman of this pack, and we have repeatedly said we need to attract groups, we need to attract groups. It doesn't work. It didn't happen. So these things is an incentive to see whether by that we can attract groups that will come, participate in building the physics, developing the physics program, and reinforcing the local team which cannot do both the construction and the software. So if you wait another year for doing that, then you are wasting the time. I think that we should do it now, not wait. So the two things, formation of the collaboration, putting the grant program on the air, will help attracting groups from the outside and maybe build a strong momentum that we need. I mean, it's needed here.
Somehow may I comment as well, because we could not expect that in one day in the collaboration meeting we shall get twice as much as people as we have already involved in our project. So more or less already people who are willing to participate, either already participating widely or just already negotiating off according to the participation. To be realistic, that collaboration de facto exists. All the topics are already well defined. So the grants launched simultaneously with some official meetings could help indeed to reinforce attraction of the external groups, which now have some not fully are confident that they want to join because they have no resources, have no basis how to work, and that could really attract and make the first collaboration meeting more powerful. That's my opinion, but many opinions should be collected.
Yeah, I have a question. You did not mention in your slide how many of such grants you prepare each year?
Oh, I don't think that the limitation will come from our side. Wow. I am pretty sure that the limitation will come from the point of applicants. I don't expect that hundreds of applicants would be applied, but limitation will come based on our resources. We will estimate some amount of resources which are dedicated to those. As soon as the resources are
because
limited, it will
I
be stopped.
I would say such grant is important. You have to have it for a number of years. You can attract people. You cannot say 1 year I have 10.
No,
for
3 years.
3 years.
I understand. But
the project is for 3 years. But each year we should monitor and to see the efficiency and have rights to stop the project if it's not sufficiently efficient, etc. So otherwise it's waste of resources.
Yes?
Now I'm getting confused. I mean, if you have a big collaboration, building MPD, you have an MPD detector, then this collaboration should apply with the management for beam time. And the collaboration should say, like Atlas or CMS, these are the scientific works we do. And the collaboration inside should say, you are project leader of the ECAL, you are project leader of the TOF, do you get your funding secured? Where, and then if the spokesman comes to you, says, yes, we have it financed through Dubna funds, and then there is no grant. I don't know where the grant is going on. Are you talking about people, or are you talking about MPD?
No,
MPD
no.
would be one grant, and BM&M would be one grant.
No.
You are missing the point.
No,
huh?
I think I'm missing, yeah.
Yes,
so
you are missing the point.
What is the issue?
Well, the issue, as I said before, is trying to attract additional groups to the existing collaborations right now, which is basically or dominantly GINR. Okay, so that's the goal.
Hansen, it's not grant to build the big objects of the MPD or some big elements of the MPD. This grant wants dedicated to the manpower joining from the physics point, but not excluded of some subsystems could be under responsibility of those grants leaders as well. But the major part already, as you know, well defined who is responsible for what.
So you are hiring people on the grant for 3 years?
It's students, postgraduate students involving in this project, because the grant leader could attract the students and PhD students to work together with him of the developing software or contributing to the analysis or simulation or preparing some subsystems or small systems for big objects. That expands the community who would be really joining this project, because by our wishes, not army of 1,000 people will come and work. We have no such attractivity as CERN has, and we should really inject some power to be more attractive for people, for young students, for the army of future scientists to come to our institute and to work on our projects.
A very important issue, but I'm afraid that I will propose that we keep going, and we will have the opportunity tomorrow during the discussion to come back and to discuss this as needed. So let's thank Vladimir now for this presentation. We will now move to the progress reports from Vadim Kolesnikov on the MPD project.
Now, money. Dear PIC members, dear colleagues, the MPD project progress report is structured as follows. After a brief introduction about NICA MPD and its goals, I will address the status of the MPD Detector Advisory Committee evaluation and readiness of the MPD TDRs for MPD subsystems, and overview progress in preparation for the MPD mass production subsystem-wise, with an emphasis to the recent developments in MPD simulation and presenting some selected results. This is a sketch and several photos from the NICA complex civil construction place. As we hope, by the end of this year, maybe a little bit later, the MPD hall, you can see here the ground of this hall here, will be ready for begin installation of the required equipment. In 2020, maybe 21, first heavy-ion collision at the MPD interaction point is expected, and after another 3 years, the nominal luminosity up to 10 to the 27 for heavy ion collision has to be reached. The main goal of the heavy ion program at NICA is the MPD detector. This is a study of the comprehensive study of the properties of the QCD phase diagram in the region of the maximum net baryon density. The designed, as shown here, MPD detector should allow registration of the several hundreds of hadrons, light nuclear leptons, both primary and secondary, with high efficiency, precise tracking, primary and secondary vertex reconstruction. At present, more than 150 physicists participated in MPD project realization. As you already know, the date for the first MPD collaboration meeting is already defined. On the next slide, I would like to summarize the current status of the MPD TDR readiness. Here is the list of the MPD Detector Advisory Committee members. The very recent, in principle, we have a meeting of the MPD DAC on the regular basis, twice per year, even often. sometimes. Very recent MPD DAC meetings took place yesterday and was dedicated to the overview of the status of the TDR readiness for the stage one subsystems, which includes TPC, TOF, FFD, ECAL, and FHCAL. At present, the FFD system got green light from the committee. Another system are close to the final status, implemented recent recommendations from the DAC, except maybe ECAL, which due to radical change in the design geometry very recently is still progressing. And again, on behalf of MPD team, I would like to thank all the members of the DAC committee for the very professional work, which we appreciate very much. Then I come to the detector subsystem. I would like to begin from the status of the MPD superconductor solenoid, which is now under manufacturing in Genoa, the general contractor AGS superconductor. Very good progress over the recent half a year. So all solenoid cylinders are ready. The superconductor cable delivered, tested successfully. Trim coils are produced. Here you can see a photo from this production area. All necessary tooling for superconductor magnet production are ready. This is a winding machine. This is a special vacuum kiln for coil compounding. However, unfortunately, due to some cumulative effect of small delays in production and testing, the end of the production is shifted to the November of this year. And because of the fact that we now out of the period of the water navigation, the delivery to Genera is now shifted to the April-May of the 2019, but we hope that is the last delay in its production. The status of the MBD magnet yoke construction is also in very good shape. This is a list of the elements of the magnet yoke and their readiness. In principle, all plates and support rings are ready, and lodgement is practically ready. Next slide summarized the progress in the construction of the time projection chamber for MPD. So the clean room and tooling for this for assembling TPC is ready and successfully tested. The flanges are constructed now under the test for the gas leakage in the special test area. The readout chambers produced, however, due to some technological problems with quality of the PET plane chambers, somehow a little bit delayed. The supply system, gas, electricity, cooling, laser calibration are designed. Many components of this system already delivered and systems are under test. Also, very well progressing is integration TPC inside MPD. Very good news that now the team has close to the final solution for the front end electronics, which will be based on the modern Sampa chip. On the next slide, you can see a photo of the one prototype based on Sampa chip revision 3 for 64 channels. Not all required works are required steps are passed, but the team now with a final solution in hand, working hard on the finalizing some integration issue on some additional tests, on some estimates for the material budget and for the radiation dose. So now we hope that we will progress in this direction very quickly. Next slide illustrates progress in the time of flight system. This is a system based on RPC counters. This is a core of our particle identification system. In principle, the team is ready for the mass production. All materials required for the MRPC barrel pad are purchased, delivered. They have a special dedicated area for the construction and skilled personnel already, several technicians. Front-end electronics and readout TDC are under production, 20% already ready. Also, under production are boxes for MRPC, and also under construction is tooling for installation of these units inside the MPD. Fast forward detector will be made as a couple, two arrays of the Cherenkov quartz detectors will be used for triggering and fast timing. After getting green light from the committee, the team has prepared a very detailed plan of purchasing, construction, and putting into operation. Here you can see some steps, milestones in this plan. This is I'm not going to announce tell about that, but many elements of this system already delivered to Genera and purchasing. In addition, the team constructed a detector of similar design for the BMN experiment. They're working in the framework of this experiment with the aim to gain some additional experience how to work with this detector. The progress in MPD ECAL. The main radical changes in the MPD ECAL system, this is switching to the plane geometry to the projectile one. In this case, each model points to the towards the interaction point. The barrel ECAL will be consist of such number of the units. Each unit, this is a sampling calorimeter LED scintillator with VLC fibers for readout. So, after changing of this design, the now combined team from Genera and ITAP are working hard to finalize the design option and study the ECAL performance. In addition, attracting several groups from China, in particular from Tsinghua University, the detailed plan of the mass production of this model has prepared. Several steps, both political and technical, were performed. Here's a photo from one strategy working group between collaboration between NICA and China. And after that, in December last year, the group from Tsinghua University, led by Professor Wong and his colleagues, were coming to Genera to acquire experience in how to assemble and test the ECAL models. So, in plans are to preparation of two workshops for ECAL model production at Genera and in China. FHCAL hadron calorimeter will be used for centrality and event plane termination, so-called event characterization. This more two arrays of such calorimeter are under production in the Institute for Nuclear Research in Troitsk. After recent evaluation last year, MPD-DAC strongly recommended by the team to perform additional beam test with protons in the energy range of NICA. Recently, these tests were performed at proton beams at CERN. Here you can see preliminary results from this test about energy resolution and linearity, which satisfy our requirement. After finalizing these results, they will be included into TDR, and then final version of TDR will be presented to the committee. In addition, about one-third of units already produced. Here you can see a photo of these models. Also, in the production front-end electronics boards. So the construction of this model is also in a good shape. Silicon vertex detector, this is detector not for the first stage of the project realization, and we expect this detector after 2023 in order to extend our capability to the multi-strangeness and charm sector. However, the preparation for its construction has started, and now the infrastructure for construction and testing such such detector is growing. Recently, an Alisa 8 chip pack-and-place robot provided positioning actual accuracy of the maps on work chunk better than 5 microns, was delivered, configured, and tested. And after additional time needed to gain experience for the technician, people will start to work on this. Also, very good progress in the establishment, some international cooperation with WebM Fair, with CERN, aimed in the construction of ladders and map sensors. Also, they are planned to add to this consortium several institutions from Poland, hopefully from China. Integration of the multi-purpose subsystem to the multi-purpose detectors, very important issues driven by the several requirements. First of all, assembling, modular assembling and disassembling of all the elements, and as easy as possible access to the subsystem for the service. So here you can see the results of some strategy for assembling and disassembling subsystem elements into the one detector. In order to effectively analyze last volume of data expected at NICA, the computer infrastructure should be properly designed, allowing to deal with the expected data rates of petabytes per year. So now the team leading by this person is in the process of constructing and designing such system, which will be consist of several online, offline clusters, and will be located in this NICA center. So now in our lab, there's some prototype of these systems is under tests. The more detailed talk about the IT project for NICA will be given once the IT TDR for NICA is ready. Then I would like to switch to some recent results from MPD Monte Carlo simulation, which concern the realistic description of the physical process and tracking reconstruction in TPC. All this physical process listed here are included into the simulation. This is an example of the how we can reconstruct the clusters, how a set of tracks reconstructed in gold-gold collision looks like, and a couple of results about space and double hit resolution from the TPC. In addition, we studied the MPD performance in elementary collision, which is not a trivial task. Here you can see the pseudo-repeated distribution of the efficiency of track reconstruction, precision of the primary vertex reconstruction for different number of reconstructed in the event tracks, and first preliminary result of the reconstruction invariant mass of proton and pion candidates. In addition, with some preliminary version of the how ITS detector can be described, we have first results demonstrated the improvement in reconstruction performance MPD for lambda hyperon with and without these ITS detectors. Very important that for such ambitious project realization, we need a lot of very professional manpower, both senior and young physicists. So educational issue is extremely important. We have a very good example from our Polish colleagues. So member states actively more and more involved in the realization of the MPD project. Last year, more than 20, if I remember correctly, students from Poland, different Polish institutions, has summer practice over several months in Genera, and after that, during the NICA days in Warsaw, they presented the result from this practice, which will be included in their diploma thesis. We congratulate our Polish colleagues, Marek Pirit, Jan Pluta, and Adam Kisel for success of this practice, and we hope that this this activity will be continuous on the regular basis and maybe will be extended to another member states. Now it's time to come to my conclusions. So I would like to summarize saying that we have substantial progress in the realization of MPD project for the stage one subsystems. The progress regularly evaluated by the MPD DAC members stage. We have a steady progress in magnet fabrication, hopefully with some last delay by approximately 1 year. The good news that we have a final, hopefully final choice for the TPC front-end electronics based on SAMPA. And now establishing of MPD collaboration is practically tomorrow. So we in April have the formal foundation for the MPD collaboration. Thank you for your attention. I'm done.
Thank you very much, Vadim. Any questions or comments for Vadim? Yeah, please.
I think in a future, maybe future meetings, we need to outline what is a baseline, what is a startup version of MPD. And that will help us to prioritize the hardware work and also simulation work.
Sure. If you mean a PAC meeting or DAC meeting or both?
For this meeting, I think...
Yeah, so of course we can maybe remind you. Actually, it was already presented. Our experimental strategy, our detector systems, which we plan for stage one, heavy and collision studies. So I think that we, of course, thank you for your comments, and we indeed will present a very detailed experimental strategy, not only the detector subsystem, but experimental strategy for studies this, this, and this during the first stage of project engine. Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, so thanks, Vadim, again. And now we move to the report on the BM-ATEN by Mikhail Kapishin.
Okay, colleagues, I will present the status report of baryonic matter and Pollutron. I will describe the results of the analysis of recent runs at Pollutron and also the steps to prepare for the next runs. Just to remind you, the BM-ATEN is the first experiment of the complex NICA nucleotron. It's a fixed target experiment aimed to study interaction of ions up to gold and also protons with nucleus targets, energy range from 1 to 6 GeV per nucleon, and intensity up to 10 to 7 per second. Now I go to the setup of the experiment. In recent runs, we performed in deuteron and carbon beams. The energy was from 3.5 to about 4.6 GeV per nucleon. The primary goal was to commission the central tracker. We use GEM detectors as a basic element of the central tracking system and one plane of silicon detector in front of it. And also, the plan was to test and calibrate time-of-flight system, trigger system, and start detector, and also full zero-degree calorimeter and part of electromagnetic calorimeter. So the first task was to trace the tracks of beam particles through the setup for the tracker at different values of magnetic field, to reconstruct the known momentum, then to collect data, minimum bias data of interaction of ions and with different targets from carbon up to lead to study these events, these processes. So this is a summary of the components of the detector we used in this recent runs. Here you see two big GEM detectors. In front of them, middle-sized GEM detectors, altogether six planes. This is a big GEM detector under test in the laboratory. Here you see the front end of the setup, barrel detector, which is a trigger detector, and silicon coordinate detector behind it, then electromagnetic calorimeter, the same type as for MPD, 0-degree calorimeter, and also drift chambers and time of flight system. This is the view of the setup, the present view. You see here 0-degree calorimeter, drift chambers, behind the magnet, yes, time of flight system, and also covered against bright light LAN detector and neutron detector for short-range correlation measurements. Now about the production of GEM detectors. They are produced at CERN workshop. In the runs, I mentioned we used two big detectors with a length of 1.6 meters and five detectors of middle size, 66 to 41 centimeters square. And for the next run, we produced five additional big detectors at CERN, and we plan to install them into the setup in February and March this year. Now about the quality of the data and the beam. This is our beam, BMTN trigger monitor, where you can see the response of our beam counters to the beam. The spill was typically 1.5 seconds, but unfortunately we experienced rather non-uniform structure of the beam with big fluctuations. As a result, at this microstructure, we also experienced a pileup in our GEM detectors, which made the analysis of data much more complicated. So, and this also limits our data acquisition rate because the particles are going not uniformly to our setup. The size of the beam was about 7 to 7 millimeters in size. Now, the first step, as I said, we measured the known beam momentum to check the resolution of our central tracking system. And for the carbon beam, we obtained a resolution around 5%. This is particles with maximum momentum. That's why this the uncertainty to reconstruct beam momentum is the maximum for this particle because deflection is the smallest. The gas mixture is shown here, and the results also depends on the gas mixture which we use in the GEM detectors. The comparison of coordinate resolution in our GEM detectors for deuteron beam and carbon beam data shown here. In deuteron beam, we use argon isobuthane gas mixture, which give a more favorable condition for operation of the GEMs, but this is a more slow gas mixture, and the resolution was about 600 microns residuals, and for argon CO2, we got 2 times better resolution. We also state that we can reproduce this residuals distribution with Monte Carlo if we apply parameterization from Garfield simulation. So this presents the reconstruction of vertex along the beam and the effect of the silicon plane in front of GEM detectors. Without silicon plane, you see this blue histogram of the vertex, and the effect is very significant, and finally we got a sigma along the beam about 6 millimeters. This is illustration of one event reconstructed of carbon-to-carbon interaction in our central tracker. Here you see a silicon detector and GEM stations. This is a candidate to the lambda hyperon decay, two tracks, positive and negative, decay products of lambda hyperon. We reconstructed signals of lambda hyperon in effective mass spectra for deuteron data and carbon data above some rather high background, of course, but you see these signals. For deuteron data, we got 3 MeV resolution, and for carbon data with a faster gas mixture and better coordinate resolution, we got 2.4 MeV resolution. To improve the signal-to-background ratio, we need to improve the vertex resolution. For that, we already in the next run, we plan to use three planes of silicon detectors instead of one. And we also, as I said, will install additional planes of gem detectors to improve the momentum resolution. And the results of this analysis, all the steps are described in a methodical paper, which is soon be published in PP for Nuclear Letters Journal. Now about the components, important components of the detector. These are forward silicon strip detector with a stereo angle 2.5 degree. Here you see the view of the detector. It's 16 models around the beam, the hole for the beam. And here you see the alignment of the gem heats relative to the gem tracks relative to the silicon heats as a function of the silicon strip number. So, as I said, we used one detector in carbon beam and plan to install two additional detectors in the next run. Now, a trigger system, as it was used in our previous runs, includes beam detectors, T0 detector for a thermal slice system, theta detector, and then the main component was a barrel detector. It's strips of scintillators read out by silicon photomultipliers around the target. He is the target. And in the next run, we plan to install also a segmented silicon trigger detector behind the target. So the main selection criteria was multiplicity in barrel detector and also in photo detector. Here you see the barrel detector strips of scintillator and printed board at the readout electronics, how it looks like in the setup, in the front end of the setup. Here you see the design of the forward trigger detector with segmented azimuthal structure. And we look to the performance of barrel detector as for different targets, different atomic numbers. You see that for minimum multiplicity is for carbon-carbon interaction, and maximal is a blue curve for carbon-lead interaction. So the detector performs as we expected. Now, time-of-flight system consists of two walls just behind the magnet, top 400. And the second wall situated in between the drift chambers. It covers the whole polar angle of reconstructed tracks. So we look to the performance of these detectors. This is distribution for TOF 400, beta of velocity of particles versus momentum. And you see major contribution from protons, positive charge pions, and heavier fragments like deuteron and alpha. And difficult to see here Cowan contribution. And similar plots for TOF 700 system. You see contribution from proton and heavier fragments. And if you translate beta distribution to mass, you see contribution from protons. And We cannot separate presently with the presence level of precision counts from pions. It's a common cloud here. And if you plot a one-dimensional distribution below 2.5 GeV, you see a contribution from different components. So to get separation of charge counts from pions, we need to improve calibration of TOF station and also to improve the momentum resolution of central tracker, because we use momentum from central tracker and extrapolate them. Now about the setup of the central tracker for the next run, which is situated inside the magnet. We plan to use seven combined planes of silicon detectors, five big gems, and four middle-sized gems, which you combine into planes. And in front of the gem detector will be three planes of silicon to coordinate detectors. So we studied this, optimized this setup with Monte Carlo using signals of lambda and K zero short acceptances. In before the start of the heavy iron program, in the next run, we plan to study short-range correlations with our setup. This extension of the program was accepted in the previous PAC meeting. So now the setup is under preparation. It will include two arms of detectors, trigger detector, GEMS, time of flight system to measure two scattered protons at large angles, around 30 degrees in the laboratory frame, one proton from the beam, another one from the correlated pair. The second companion of the correlated pair in nucleon or neutron on proton will be measured either by LAN detector or by GEM detectors. So the plan is to analyze inverse kinematics, carbon beam to the liquid hydrogen target, and to measure all the products of the reaction, including the recoil nucleon, spectator nucleus, and also these two protons. They expect a few hundred events for 2 weeks of data taking. Now, this is a table which shows where we are now. We are beginning of 2018. We expect argon and krypton beams to run with a moderate intensity up to 0.5 megahertz. In the present setup, we plan to use 7 half planes of GEM detectors and 2 small silicon planes. For the program with heavy ions, which we expect start in 2020, we plan to run with heavy ions up to gold and use 7 full planes of GEM detectors and 4 large aperture planes of silicon detectors, which we plan to build in cooperation with CBM experiment. And finally, we plan to extend to higher multiplicities, to higher intensities and higher trigger rates in the future. Now, this is my concluding remarks. So BMTN performed technical runs with deuteron and carbon beams with energies from 3.5 to 4.6 GeV per nucleon. We claim that major subsystems are operational now, but they are still in limited configurations. These are GEM detectors, forward silicon detector, outer tracker, time of flight system, 0 degree calorimeter, trigger, data acquisition, slow control, and online monitoring. We are now developing algorithm for event reconstruction and analysis with real data, and we reconstructed signals at lambda hyperon decays. The plans for next run, which we expect in 2 weeks, to start in 2 weeks, in February, March, we expect carbon, argon, and krypton beams extracted to or delivered to our setup. The setup will be extended. We expect 5 more big GEM detectors, 2 more planes of forward silicon detector, extended trigger system, full time of flight system, and extended data acquisition configuration. We also plan to fulfill the program of studies of short-range correlation with inverse kinematics. And in future, we rely on collaboration with CBM to produce and install large aperture silicon detectors in front of GEM setup. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mikhail, for this report. Are there any comments or questions? Hans.
I'm very excited that you will soon have beams of krypton, and I hope that it will work. And my question is, in this beam time, are you starting with the BM at N setup and change over then to the short-range correlations?
The opposite.
You do the opposite.
Opposite. We start with short-range correlations setup, and then for about 6 days, we plan to switch to the BMTN setup.
It takes you 6 days to change?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? I think that can summarize what we had yesterday at the DAC meeting. We are impressed by the progress in increasing the acceptance of the detector with new detectors and the new layers for the tracker, and we are looking forward to see the results with the heavier beams of argon or krypton.
Okay, thank you.
Vacuum beam pipe, yeah. Any other comments or questions for Mikhail? Okay, then thank you very much, Mikhail. Now we have a status report from Rumen Tsenov about the realization of the SPD project.
Good afternoon. I'm speaking first time in front of this committee. So I'm a deputy director of the Laboratory of High Energy Physics, and I'll be reporting about our way towards the full-scale SPD project, or spin physics detector project. Yeah. Sorry. What we have had, there was an initiative group led by Professor Savin that compiled and published in this. Excuse me. In this archive paper, letter of intent, and that letter of intent was presented at this PAC in summer 2014. In that letter, so the physics program of the experiment was developed. Requirements to unique polarized beams were formulated. Desired detector characteristics were given, and even a sketch of facilities. And after that, there were several presentations at renowned international conferences about the physics potential and program of the spin physics detector and NICA, and also several workshops on spin physics were organized, and you can see the list of those workshops here, everywhere, so the physics was discussed in detail and extensively. In autumn last year, I was asked by the director of our laboratory to head the task force to intensify the project and to bring it to a higher speed. And then we started some work. What we are based on, so we are based on what is put in the NICA project. So the beam, so this will be the place of SPD detector. So the beams that we are counted on, so there should be polarized proton and neutron beams. And you can see the anticipated luminosity here, depending on the energy of the beams. So at 26 GeV center of mass energy, we could have as many as 10 to the, so the luminosity, peak luminosity could be of the order of 10 to the 32nd. And so you see number of bunches, bunch lengths, and so on. So the time between the, so the crossing of the bunches would be of the order of 80 nanoseconds. That means 12 megahertz of crossing frequency. So a few slides about physics motivation to recall in your memory. So the physics motivation is around the spin physics of the nucleons. This is the least known property of the nucleon, and you can read here a statement by James Bjorken saying that the polarization data has often been the data that killed many theories, and that the theories does not like much these data just because of their great rejection power. So, and this is what we are going to study. So the distributions of in the nucleon depending on the spin states of the nucleon and of the constituents, quarks and gluons. And what instruments do we have for that? So those are in fact a couple of things. So the Drellian pairs, so pairs of leptons produced directly in hadron-hadron collisions, and studying asymmetries in these pairs. So you can see the complicated picture here of the proton. So in the proton, you have a collinear distribution of quarks on the momentum in the direction of interaction, so longitudinal momentum. Then you have distribution of quarks inside the proton in transverse plane, and also you have distribution of quarks and gluons over the transverse momentum with respect to this axis. So you can have many different combinations and many different structure functions that give you what is the distribution of quarks and gluons and their movement inside the proton, information that is missing up to now in our knowledge of the hadrons. So because of those several variables, one can have up to 8 particle probability distribution functions, and so they are depicted here. I'm not going to explain them. They are so complicated. Formula can be written down anyway. So you could have unpolarized and longitudinally and transversely polarized nucleons, and you could consider longitudinal and transversal and unpolarized constituents, quarks and gluons. So you have this variety of functions. Some of them are T odd, some of them are P odd functions. So the physics is very rich and very interesting. The main instrument, so what we can achieve, so how could we that achieve? Measuring several processes, starting from Drellian pairs, going through direct photons, semi-inclusive deep and elastic scattering, exclusive processes with Drellian pairs, and so on and so forth. So, and those measurements give us access to these questions or these, you know, the knowledge for the nucleon. So, just a couple of slides. So, Drellian pairs, this is a rare process, it's difficult to measure. This you could see in our region of energy. So the spectrum, the mass spectrum of these pairs, this is the direct pairs. They have to be extracted from this spectrum. The main background here is the muons and electrons from decaying pions. And that background is 10 order of magnitudes more. So the task is really heavy. So in the SPD, simple simulations shows that with some cats, it could be possible to extract signal in some mass invariant mass region. Just the full cross section of two protons in that energy is about 40 millibar, and the Drellian. And the Drellian cross-section is 8-9 nanobar. So you have 6 orders of magnitudes different. So this is a relatively old table taken from the letter of intent showing the experiments that measure or are going to measure Drellian pairs. So I would bring your attention to this column here, where NICA SPD has all yes here in all boxes. compared to other experiments. So we can measure whatever we'd like if we build a good enough detector. So prompt bloons, this is in fact Compton scattering, this diagram, quark from one of the nucleons, gluon from the other, and then prompt photon, photon produced directly in the collision is emitted, and one has to measure this photon and using asymmetries in the cross sections, and this gives us access to the quark, to the gluon distribution and of the nucleon, and to gluon polarization in the nucleon. So again, the main background here is the decay of pi zeros produced in the collisions. So, and the ratio is comparable to what is in the Drellian pairs. So several orders of magnitude difference. In fact, the production of Drellian of direct photons, prompt photons, is similar to production of pairs. The pairs are with couple of orders of magnitude less cross-section because of this electromagnetic vertex here, but the information is complementary and results can be compared even better if they are produced in and measured in one of the and the same detector. You can see here an old work about that in published in Physics Letter. So you can see that we could measure in fact one and the same. So another interesting topic could be asymmetries in high PT hadron productions. So there are several, or I would say many, results obtained in the past and not understood when people dealt with polarized beams and measured the polarization of produced hadrons, starting from famous lambda polarization in hadron-hadron collisions. Also, there is an example here about the asymmetries seen in pion production in different energies up to Rick energies, and so these asymmetries with respect to the Feynman variable XF here seems to grow, and this is not explained so far by any theory. There are several other experiments, so you can see asymmetry here as a function of transverse momentum of produced hadrons in those experiments. So there is no theory yet explaining that behavior of hadron production, and this is one of the such kind of phenomena can be studied in our detector. So there is a not complete list of questions that we hope to get some answers of there. So this I will skip just because we are already close to lunch and hungry, so those are other examples of interesting transverse spin surprises obtained in the past that can be addressed in experiments at SPD. And this brings us to the requirements of what kind of detector we would like to build. So, roughly speaking, that should be a detector that completely reconstructs the final state, measures all particles, trajectories, identifies them, and on the basis of that is able to give to measure asymmetries in production rates in cross sections, those asymmetries coming from different combinations of polarizations of the colliding beams. So transversal polarization, transversal longitudinal or longitudinal polarization. So we need general purpose good quality detector. 4π geometrical acceptance, high precision vertex detector, high precision and fast overall tracker. Fast is essential because the cross section, so 12 megahertz frequency, good particle ID, efficient muon range system, good electromagnetic colorimeter, low material budget over the track paths, which is also essential, trigger and deck system able to cope with event rates at this luminosity, and not at least, but not last but not least, modularity and easy access to detector elements that makes possible further reconfiguration and upgrade. It would be very ambitious to think that we will come at once with the best, design of the detector. It will evolve in years. Roadmap. So we started with setting up a few working groups from GNR based people, and that was done in August, September. So our goal, as I recall, was to intensify the project to give new speed. So this is most already done. Then we are in this state here. So we are working on simplified detector sketch, what should be there and how it might look like. And this is ongoing. Then we need to define a simplified design of the detector, so more or less what will be where and which, how much material, basic technologies ongoing. And then in parallel we are in negotiations for setting up an international collaboration and sharing the responsibilities for the design and construction of the facility. This is our plan to achieve that at end of this year. So we have a list of institutions here that have expressed already wish and to participate, and also other institutes from the that signed the letter of intent will be invited to join us, and we plan to have this summer, maybe in July in Prague, as our Prague colleagues were very kind to invite us there to organize some kind of proto-collaboration workshop or meeting, first meeting of this collaboration. Then we will have more more views and more knowledge how many people and how many groups are willing to participate and who can do what. In this, to this end, we are very interested in that grant program that was discussed just an hour ago, because that program could give us, as Itzhak said, incentives to attract people from groups, from universities that do not have so much resources to participate on their own. For example, Tomsk State University, they are very interested to participate, but they don't have resources for that, and they count more or less on the resources of GANR. So, further down, so we hope to starting writing the conceptual design report this year, and status report will be given to this pack if you invite us in June. Then we plan to submit the formal request for project approval to the PAC meeting in January 2009. This means in this autumn we have to submit the documents in order to be able, so you to be able to evaluate them. Then we plan to work towards a memorandum of understanding based on already existing regulations for the organization, two more minutes, of experiments conducted by international collaboration. You can find this here. Next year, and setting up collaboration, so second half of the next year. Then preparation of technical design report 2019-2020, and starting design and construction work 2020, construction 4 or 5 years. First measurements, hopefully 2025. This is quite aggressive plan, I know, but we try to follow it. Then we set working groups, and interim steering committee has been set up, 30 members. Physics program and detector groups, so we have responsible from GA and NR. And let me state that those are not collaboration elected people, so there will be collaboration, and the collaboration will elect respective coordinators. Those are just people that are setting up and the project. And the most urgent task now is to choose between the two types of the magnetic field, toroidal or solenoidal magnetic field. The task force has been set up just to, and within a couple of months the choice has to be made, just to have a flavor. This is toroidal magnetic field, and transporting muons with energies between 0.5 and 5 GeV, they are bent in this field, so the momentum resolution of the order of 1 to 3% can be achieved on the best conditions, of course, for tracking precision. And instead of conclusions, because it's too early to draw up conclusions, the work is ahead of us, just stay tuned. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this update. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Laszlo, please.
You've shown a long and nice list of problems, theoretical and experimental. Can you show or stress one or two where Dubna would be successful? The problem is that the opinion about spin physics is controversial. For decades, there are problems and there are no unique answer about the solution. For example, is there spin physics, or maybe there is no spin physics? The internal motion of quarks makes half of the spin of the nucleon, more or less. Or, for example, another example, is spin important in low T elastic hadron scattering, for example, the whole cross-section? Or the tomography, a fantastic picture tomography of the nucleon. So where do you see Dubna's role plays in a discovery, in future discovery?
So the one of the first tests would be, will be the measurements with the Drellian pairs in the final states, and this will be based on the extensive experience so Dubna groups have in participating, for example, in COMPASS experiment, where the similar physics program is pursued. So, and we just, so those people that work in COMPASS with that, they are going to work in SPD. So, for example, here measuring asymmetries in Drellian pair production, we could address these structure functions, and so our job is just to provide nice and precise experimental data, and about the philosophy of the spin and what spin tells us about this nucleon structure. So we have a special department in our laboratory, head by Professor Teryaev, who is responsible to tell us what we see in our measurements. So maybe he could address further that question. So the first, I mean, I think measurements would be Drellian pairs.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, I think the PAC is pleased to see the progress and the clear roadmap of how to proceed for the next year in order to really create a structure that will lead eventually to a detector. So thank you very much, Rumen, for this, and we look forward to the future presentations.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now. This one or this one? Ah, okay. So now we are moving to the projects that have are completed, supposed to be completed in 2018, and are seeking continuation. The first presentation is there is a slight change in the program that you have in front of you. We will start by the upgrade of the CMS detector by Anatoly Zarubin.
Thank you so much. So it is a list of participants. It's more than 100 physicists from 11 institutions from 7 countries. It's a full list shown here. Unfortunately, many people, it's a long project and many people passed away. So let me remind that GNR participates in CMS and framework of RDMS-CMS collaboration, where its responsibilities are on forward part, on the Muon and Hadron system as well. And just to remind, what's our life with LHC? LHC, so CMS started with a low lumi CMS detector. It was not completed. So, by the way, the discovery of Higgs boson was made with low lumi detector with a small statistics. And since 2013, we'll start to build a nominal lumi CMS detector, as it was described in initial technical proposal of 1994, and it should be completed by the end of LS2 in this year. So right now we're here, we have in total 100 inverse femtobarn, we'll have 50 more, and high luminosity will come much later. So in another words, phase one, it is a initial project. So CMS GNR upgrade phase project was approved and started since 2013. Our obligation, RDMS, DMS, it is a funding agency, it is the GNR and Dubna member states. So our participation in HCAL Muon system with a total contribution more than 1 million Swiss francs. It's well going on. We already spent this amount of money. And again, the goal of this upgrade is to build the fourth Muon station and forward station and HCAL as well. So the sense of the project for ME11, it is a recover trigger, I would say, acceptance up to ITER 2.4, minimize deadline, remove any worries about the rate capability, increase readout robustness due to the optical readout instead of skew clear cables. And there was a joint US RDMS electronic project where, in particular, Dubna and Minsk took a part for low voltage distribution system and interfaces, and also responsible for reinstallation of all these electronics, which was done in 2015. For HE, it's increased dynamic range, etc., etc., using CPM instead of HPD, update segmentation, longitudinal segmentation to increase particle flow capability with new electronics, of course, optimize this interface between the CAL and HCAL. So, and we should be ready by the end of LS2. And the third part of our activity, it's R&D for phase two, just to be ready in time with the knowledge of new detectors. So upgrade of ME11. 72 chambers were extracted, re-instrumented with electronics, tested and reinstalled. So the result is we can compare run one and run two. There is no dead chambers, dead channels, etc. And heat efficiency is quite big. And the same for the fourth station, where all the electronics from ME11 station were used. The heat position resolution has been improved, and the resolution in run two, it's around 50 microns, becomes much better. And summary for muon system, what's already done. So obligations, formal obligation, successfully completed. It is a good display event of 4 lepton events. It's a decay of Higgs boson. So, and contribution of GNR with the Russian funding, this value and half of the million from the Dubna. In each call, it is a list of all of activity. Many these items were already done, and the only fabrication for readout modules are still in progress, because we built all the stuffs for NCAP calorimeter, and for barrel it's still under the contract and will be delivered 1 year later. And the same now is going on, this installation of new electronics and in cup calorimetry. So as a result, we will have a new, it is an old segmentation with 2 layers, and we will have 5 longitudinal layers segmentation in future. And again, about upgrade, there was a problem with the HPD. Its motivation for this upgrade is a list of the tasks, but let me show the very new pictures. What's now is going on just a few days ago, 2 days ago, from at CERN. Now its installation team very efficiently is working with the installation, with the removal of old electronic installation of new RBXs. Commission team, all these people are either from Dubna or from Russian institution, from RDMS. And the sourcing team actively making the calibration. So, the third part of our activity and results on R&D of phase two, it is a list what was done. We study agent effects at so-called gamma irradiation facility at CERN, up to 3 times more than high luminosity needed, so it's practically up to 9 auto in this auto barn. I will show the picture. Radiation hardness of electronic was new LVDB was designed for all other inner muon system close to the beam pipe, and new segment building algorithms was developed. I also will show later. For each hadron calorimetry. Now CMS selected, not now, but just a few years ago, and now TDR in stage of preparation, selected high granularity calorimeter. I should say that the idea of such silicon calorimeter was built in 1992. It was proposed based on the possibility to produce silicon in Russia. It was quite cheap that time, but unfortunately it was too expensive. That is why now it's again at the new level of technology this idea appears. What's very interesting is that even transfer segmentation of pixel of this exactly the same. It's 2x2 and 4x4 centimeters. So, but anyway, there was many other ideas, and we use a developed finger strip plastic scintillator option to upgrade, and study of the radiation, study of CPM study, scintillator study, etc., etc., etc. So few results. What I told about GIF++ and ME11, it's data taken. It is a result. No change in the current for different layers. And the only what we can see is that around few percent we will have variation with a special resolution, but no agent effect observed up to 9 inverse Otto bar. So developing a finger scintillator, now we use a structure in hadron colorimetry sigma tiles. It was proposed to use such a structure, how it can be introduced. And you see advantage of this system. What's happening with the light yield with a strip structure and sigma tiles? You see it here, it's only 20% of signals. So the study was done in Dubna, at IBR, at Iran, in Minsk, and also in Uzbekistan. Dose rate effect was measured, and we have a prediction on the behavior of this detector. And very important that maybe that damage due to the neutron much more than for gammas. Also, it was measured the absorbed dose, and in real detector, we never had any experimental measurements. It is a first comparison between calculation of Fluke and experimental results. It's quite good agreement. And of course, the possibility to use CPM in high granularity colorimetry, it is limited due to the neutron flux. You see what's happening with the dark current with a flux of 10 to the 14. And also noise increased dramatically, 100 times, something like that. So the next our plan for upgrade phase 2. So here's some condition, what will be increased and with the radiations is field, etc. But what's also important, that we should be within European regulation of greenhouse gases. So that is why for CSE we should use a new gas, and we should, first of all, to understand which kind of gas should be taken in future, and to again repeat this measurement. It's very long measurement and give plus. And for CSC, as I told, that all inner rings of immune system will be updated with electronics, and we will take apart. We're taking part, and R&D on LBW is actively going on with the commissioning, with the hard test, and unfortunately it's not written that for today it's a contract for mass production, for all the chambers are signed, it will be additional contribution of Dubna to CMS due to the grant of Belarus Republic. And about software, first of all, it is a new segment builder was proposed, and it was proposed by our Dubna physicist, and you see it gives an increase of efficiency by 7% and 3 times better angular distribution with a new segment builder, and we will continue this work, taking in account the pile-up. Of course, the main worry is the participation in high granularity colorimetry. What we are thinking for today, it is a possibility of RDMS networking site with a central part in Dubna, with participation of many Russian Dubna member states institution, and also DESI and CERN. And of course, we will continue R&D with the detector, scintillator, and CPM. It is a structure of such a tile or mega tile. Inside it is a silicon detector, and outside it is a small, let's say, pixel scintillation, pixels.
Вас не слышно.
I'm sorry.
Please. Вас не слышно.
Спасибо. Thank you. So, and also with the, we studied the performance of high granularity color limit, and it's shown the fraction energy resolution for photons in the electromagnetic part, and also 10% resolution for in hadronic part. It was included into the TDR, this result. And also object reconstruction for muon system, we continue tuning the algorithm for reconstruction. Here shown the increasing of efficiency and mass resolution due to the misalignment of the detector and validation with experimental data with the different muons with opposite sign and the same sign. And of course, all this can be possible thanks to our lead colleagues with the computing of tier 1 and tier 2. Tier 1, you see, provide 7% of all the CMS tier 1s, not only CMS, tier 1s in the world, I would say. And 77 resources provide for RDMS community. And also special worry is theoretical uncertainties in Drell-Young production, and because the theoretical uncertainty PDFs is much higher than statistical errors with the small masses, and we're working in this direction, and observability of new phenomena, what's happening with the LHC and high luminosity LHC, how it should be, how we can far shift with Z, with on example of Z prime measurement. So the resources for these 3 years looks like that, as Vladimir Dmitrievich told, and then it will have a constant. And we ask support for prolongation of this project to complete in 2020. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. This proposal has been reviewed by 3 internal reviewers. All the 3 have supported the project continuation and the level of funding. The project has also been reviewed by one PAC member, Peter Histroff. So maybe you tell us your opinion, and then we open this for discussion.
Yes, so I went through the report that is 56 pages. I really like the fact that you have the results, the publications, and everything in very detailed way. And then there is the annotation that is 7 pages, and at the end you have actually what I have summarized in my report, which is what are the plans for 2018-2020. And I also discussed with Anatoly yesterday, because some of the things I had to clarify to myself. So I'm just reading now my report. And then I will have a comment and probably we can start the discussion. So the proposal for prolongation is based on the approved upgrade of CMS detector through 2020. There is a reference CERN LHC 2011-06. The project covers the period 2018-20 and is focused on the 2 phases of the CMS upgrade. The first one provides detector capable to work at luminosity 1, 2, 10 to the 34, and will be completed by 2020. In short, the development addresses the pile-up issues by the increasing the number of muon N-caps from 3 to 4 and extends the acceptance up to ETA 2.4. The upgrade of the N-cap calorimeter increases the longitudinal segmentation from 2 to 5 modules and the dynamic range. And then phase 2, a development of CMS detector for the high luminosity LHC run at 4 to 5 10 to the 34 centimeters minus square, second minus first. Right, so the current proposal for Project Prolongation addresses the following activities: general tasks, detectors, and electronics certification for work at high radiation loads. Phase one task, here we have the muon end caps with maintenance and software development, the development of the segment building algorithm. For the calorimeters, we have replacement of the front end electronics with from hybrid photodetectors to silicon photomultipliers, and development manufacturing of readout modules for the barrel calorimeter. Concerning phase two, we have R&D activities on the muon end caps, radiation studies for the gas mixture using GIF++ facility, development of electronics. For the calorimeters, we have production of scintillator modules for the high granularity calorimeter, development and production of silicon photomultiplier readout, distributed low voltage system for cathode strip chambers upgrade, software development, here we have account for timing information in the reconstruction, and also studies of the physics program for the high luminosity RAM. In the software development, we have the CSC segment builder algorithm, muon and muon pair reconstruction in the presence of high pileup, development of grid-based distributed system for data processing, and preparation for physics program from the software side. Now, the reviews of the referees, Davidov, Dorohov, and Nikitin, are positive and support the prolongation of the project. They underline the importance of the tasks and the experience achievements of the RDMS team and its essential role in the CMS experiment. The referees evaluate the scientific importance and competitiveness of the project as high, and the requested resources as adequate for the completion of the program. Their recommendation is to approve the project with first priority. I completely agree with the opinion of the referees and propose to approve the prolongation of the project for the requested 2018-2020. At the same time, and now comes my question, I have a remark concerning the annotation of the project. It is not clear to me how many people will be involved in the upgrade activities. You have 44 plus 10 plus 5 plus 10. So it is 132 physicists, but I suppose that $112,000 for travel and 50,000 K for material is not used by all this army of people, but by much less fraction, let's say. So if you can comment on this.
Yeah, of course.
Please.
Just few small team of best experts are working at CERN. The rest is done, of course, at the whole institution.
Okay, so it's because I had some doubts if the requested amount of money is enough for the completion. This is your estimate. I hope you know what you request, but looking on the number of people, to me it was a little bit on the low end. And also I have a second remark. I would be really glad to see your slides before the meeting. I partially did yesterday, but this would be helpful in order to prepare the document. So
no problem, we will do it.
Thank you.
Next time.
That's it.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions on this? No further comments or questions? Yeah, okay. There was one more thing that I wanted to ask. The physics program is essential part of the upgrade activities, means software and is this the usual practice in CMS, or it is there to for, as motivation?
Yeah. Of course, when we applied to this project in 2013 or before, Of course, the physics motivation was proposed. We apply our project up to the end. Now it's just speaking about prolongation, it will be repetition. But this afternoon, we will have a special talk, an achievement in CMS, which will be given by Maria Savina, and she will demonstrate how this partial or not fully complete upgrade, what is the influence for physics results.
Okay, no other comments or questions? Okay, so thank you very much again. And we will now hear the next presentation, and then we will break for lunch. So the next one is the upgrade of the ATLAS detector that will be presented by Alexander Sheplakov.
So good afternoon. I'll talk about the upgrade plan for ATLAS, and we'll start with motivation, showing a few slides on the general situation with ATLAS upgrade and ATLAS detector upgrade, LHC and ATLAS detector upgrade, and what have we done and what are our plans in the future. So I would, it's my pleasure to show this the results which where our group has contributed on the Higgs search in association with WNZ, because the Higgs properties remain as one of the main topics of the LHC experiments. And here you can see the invariant mass of 2B jets after subtractions of all the backgrounds except Dye boson backgrounds. And this small picture is what we had before 3 years ago with a rather modest contribution from the Higgs boson. So the current situation presented in this paper, evidence for the Higgs to W, Higgs to BB bar decay with ATLAS detector just published, shows us the 3.5 sigma excess. And you can see there is no peak yet, but just a shoulder. When we end up with 300 inverse centibarn, then there'll be some 7 sigma and 10 sigma by the end of LHC. So then we'll have a clear peak, and then this the study of the Higgs properties will be much more accurate. So by the end of LHC era, we'll have about 150 million Higgs and 120,000 double Higgs events recorded by ATLAS detector. So also SUSY retains the highest priority, but the presence of new physics could be also observed in studies of standard model processes, and this plot shows a tremendous work performed by ATLAS physicists in measuring the cross-section for standard model processes shown in this column, and we have covered about 15 orders of magnitude in cross-sections, and the comparison with theory is shown on the right. So this you see that the ratio of the data to theory performed in NLO and high orders are grouped near the one, the unity, but also we have some excesses, deviations from this value, which may be indication, but surely this study requires more statistics. So these statistics will be achieved by increasing the intensity of the LHC, and the plan of LHC upgrade is shown briefly in this slide. So now we are at the end of run two, which will end it up by the end of the year. Then there will be a long shutdown of the LHC, where the upgrade program will be installed, will be completed for the phase one, and phase two upgrade will be finished by 2026. Slide at the bottom shows this red line is where we are. Blue line shows increase of the integrated luminosity delivered by the LHC, and red dots is the luminosity, is imminent luminosity. Now we have about 2 × 10⁻³⁴, and at the high luminosity LHC will have 7.5. So this 2 times 10 to 34 is already at the edge of detector capabilities. So let's see at Atlas, this last year of Atlas was another record year. We recorded 43.8 inverse interbar of good physics, and data taking efficiency was also rather high, 93.6%, with the average number of interactions per bunch crossing about 40, but also there was some several runs when we run in that mu average mu, which is a number of pile-up events about 60 at level in luminosity. So it was at the edge, as I told, but the horror picture will happen when we'll move to higher luminosity area, when we will have about 200 pile-up events. And in the inner track, we will have 12,000 tracks each 25 nanosecond. At the same time, we have to maintain high efficiency of detector operation and good quality of the experimental data. So to get these goals, we have to upgrade Atlas, and the phase one of the Atlas upgrade has five main projects. The new small wheel and the liquid argon, which are in red, where GNR is playing a significant role. And there are also three other projects, the software project to build five new hardware modules and to provide fast tracking for high-level trigger. They also, as electronics for main detectors will be upgraded, then TDAC should be upgraded as well. And also now we have two detectors to study two proton scattering at a rather small angle. These two detectors are installed in the Atlas at 240 meters from the interaction point in both directions. Okay, so the majority of these upgrades are designed to satisfy phase two requirements, and they will stay in the detector until the end of Atlas operation. So the phase one upgrades are foundation for the phase two upgrades. So let me start with the muon spectrometer. It's a new small wheel spectrometer, small wheel project. Two wheels will be replaced. They are here at the end caps of the inner detector. And there'll be two big advantages, at least two. First, we will suppress the false trigger once we have this small wheel installed this area. And then you'll have segments of tracks. Then you'll remove the false trigger over there in the auto muon wheel. We also will overcome the degradation of the muon detector, muon monitoring drift tubes, which are now the main constituent of the muon trigger. The decision was taken to go to the micromegas technology, and there are a lot of advantages in this choice, and this shows you some idea about the micromegas work. as I said, the present muon wheel is shown here, which is a sandwich of Cassot strip chamber, monitoring drift tubes, and thin gap chambers. The new small wheel, which drawing is shown here, is a micromegas plus new thin gap tubes. the cross section of the quadruplet is shown here. Dubna will be involved in production of the big modules over there. So our obligations are production of readout micromegas readout chambers. All 36 will be produced here in Dubna, and then we have to assemble 32 quadruplets, and this work will be done together with our colleagues from University of from Greek I forgot the name of this university. Thessaloniki University, sorry. Okay. And to achieve this goal, we in the laboratory of in the Israel Laboratory of Nuclear Problems, a special workshop was built. So you can see the plan of this workshop. We have five compartments with the forced ventilation, temperature, and humidity control. There are two clean rooms, this one and this one, for panel production testing, for assembly and testing of quadruplets. We hold also hall for testing quadruplets with cosmic muons and how it looks from inside. This slide shows you various stages of the chamber production. Here we are, we can see the panels assembly, gluing, and then we have a special stand to, for testing planarity of this the panels and quadruplets. Also special setup for testing the gas leaks to assemble the quadruplets with high precision and to test it, them in, with the cosmic muons. In July last year, this site was reviewed and was approved and started to work. Since then, the first eight micromega seed-out chamber have been produced, but then there was a small delay with the delivery of good quality PCBs. But now two more chamber have been done by today. As a byproduct of this business, we have built a second workshop over there shown here to build a smaller size micromegas chambers. And I think with this workshop, we brought micromegas technology to GNR for an in-house experiment. All necessary equipment have pushes and installed. Now is testing and tuning, and may start production rather soon. another activities in the, within the muon color muon spectrometer upgrade was the installation of gallium arsenide doped by chromium sensors. They are shown here in red. And some details on these photos. These sensors allow to monitor background of background in the Atlas cavern. And these two slides are what was recorded by one of the sensors within 500 microseconds. And 100 of these frames are shown here. Each configuration of the of pixels could be assigned to some type of particles across the detector. So now the work is ongoing on development algorithms for reconstruction of this particle and visualization. So these pictures we can look from Dubna and monitor and test them. Another big job was done for upgrade of the colorimeter. There was a very big uncertainty about whether we should open cryostat or the cold electronic which is inside the Atlas and Cup cryostat will survive. So we participated. So actually, this work was done by our group. We used all data measured in the 90s at IBR2 when cold electronics was tested. Then we, this data were used in with a simulation of digest events in Atlas, and we found that deterioration of the colorimeter performance will be within 0.5%, so it's quite acceptable. Then another job was done on testing whether existing forward colorimeter will survive, and we used heavy Higgs boson produced in vector boson fusion processes, giving us two forward jets. And we found that even in the worst case, when the first compartment of forward colorimeter will be dead, then we'll lose about 50% of the signal from heavy Higgs. And so it was, from the collaboration point of view, it was okay, comparing with the rather big risk connected to the openness of the cryostat. We also tested another option of the mini FCAL, which we can put in front of the existing forward colorimeter with a diamond detector, rather good results, but they came too late. as I said, during the first phase, only electronics of the calorimeter will be upgraded, and for the moment, for in the trigger of the Atlas calorimeter, we use so-called trigger tower. But in principle, we have rather better granularity in the calorimeter, and so instead of one trigger tower, we will use 10 supercells now, which allows us to introduce a shape of the shower in the calorimeter for triggering electrons and gammas. So this trigger electronics and base plane will be replaced. We have participated in design of the new base plane for the readout grades. Also, the trigger modules will be modified. Now, instead of analog signal, we'll have a digital signal which will be transferred with optical fibers to the readout grades. And also, we participated in production of some prototype of new electronics. As a the gain, which will be due to a new trigger scheme, is shown in this slide in the bottom, showing how resolution for Z2 E plus E minus will be improved if you compare green line with the supercell and the red peak, which is existing scheme of the trigger. Tile calorimeter is a part of Atlas calorimeter, and also our group also did a rather good job on providing new radiation hard scintillator, which are installed at the end caps of the calorimeter, which gave us a trigger signal for the minimum bias events. We also proposed to change readout scheme of to read out signal from the tiles of scintillator. This scheme will be replaced by the new one. And also a new radiation hard scintillator we tested at IBR2, showing rather good behavior, about 20% signal loss, only 20% signal loss, I would say, at very high neutron fluids. For the phase two upgrade, our participation is shown in red again. The main part of the upgrade for Atlas will be replacement of the inner detector, and it will also require a big upgrade of the electronics. We are not participating in this stuff. Muon calorimeter will be also upgraded, and GNR will take part in production and testing new resistive plate chambers. TDAC also will be modified, and calorimeter electronics will be replaced completely for both for liquid argon and for tile calorimeter. In tile calorimeter, we participate in this demonstrator project to show increase of the level 1 trigger from 100 kHz to 40 MHz. And the study of radiation hard scintillator will continue. For liquid argon, it will be participation in a new trigger board, design of preamps, and also continuing work on so-called Helium-2 experiment and in Protvino to study how calorimeter signal will behave in high luminosity LHC conditions. The timeline for this work is as follow. By the end of last year, all TDR for all these systems were submitted to LHCC. Some of them have been approved, but some are not. And I think by the summer this year, the MOU will be signed, and then we'll know what Dubna will precisely do. The course scenario for was chosen to be around 270 million Swiss franc, and the spending of this money is shown here. So you can see the green is the cost of inner detector replacement, which is about one half of the all money. This list shows you the list of participants from Dubna. We have 44 people involved with a total FTE about 27. And this slide shows our request for the resources. which are about the same as we had in the previous stage of upgrade of our participation in the upgrade. I just want to mention that we have got already last year some grant from the Ministry of Science, and we expected something like this and even more this year. And conclusion, so we continue to work on phase one and phase two, and this our participation is in demand and appreciable by the collaboration. So far we have collected about 100 inverse centibar, which is only 3% of the LHCR, and if new physics is there, then it should pop up somehow very soon. Thank you very much.
Alexander, this proposal again has been reviewed by two internal referees that both of them support the continuation. From our side, it was Laszlo in charge of this proposal, so I will give the floor to Laszlo to make his comments.
Thank you. I'll be short. My report is positive, and I suggest to continue supporting the work on this project. I will not read the details that have been exposed so nicely in this talk. I can't resist with a few personal remarks praising it. So first, ATLAS is the second biggest experiment at the LHC, and the detector first is the biggest, okay? So I go on. And Dubna has a very important share, takes part in this event. There will be two updates of the accelerators, and the detector should be updated as well. And this is the task of the project. And they will do, I'm sure. For example, they will update the muon spectrometer and the calorimeters. This is the Dubna's part of the work. What is important that Dubna, in participating in this project, will bring home new ideas and will implement here in Dubna the experience gained in the collaboration of CERN. So this is a very important point. And on the other hand, the Dubna group has a very wide international collaboration with China, with other Russian institutes in this performance. One thing that impresses me, that they upgrade the plans of the LHC are already for 1935, almost two decades ahead, in spite of the turbulent world of conflicts, wars. The physicists already are planning details of the work for 1935. So they say 2035, two decades from over here. So this is my report. It's positive, and I strongly support, since there were no possibility to ask me, a question for my curiosity. Can you roughly estimate the share, relative share of your group in the LHC at CERN, and the share of Dubna among Russian colleagues? Probably there is a coordination. It's a short question. Small, large, medium, in money, manpower, publications.
I would say it's large.
Large.
If you compare with other Russian groups, it's large.
The largest, probably, yeah?
Yeah,
so I conclude, I support maximally the continuation, financial and moral.
Okay, thank you very much, Laszlo. I also would add that I was pleased to see that you have imported the Micromega technology to the lab here, and this is given the huge expertise in detectors at GINR, so this is a very well taken addition. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Peter.
Since I did this for CMS, I want to ask, what is exactly the request? Because there is no form 26 and 29 attached separately, so they're probably in the document that I did not look in.
I don't follow you.
What is the request that you have? How much money do you want?
I showed it.
Compared to CMS.
Maybe less than CMS.
So it's the same amount, more or less. 180,000 is what I see, right? Or not?
This one. 500. But we have also significant help from Russia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it will be, let's say 500.
No other comments. We thank Alexander again. We are now breaking for lunch, so we shall be back here at 2:30.